I assume that we have our guest on the line, Council Member Joanne Arriola. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So I have to tell you, your issue got on my radar because I was, in my capacity as Labor Press, was listening to the very important joint hearing of the City Council looking at the issues raised by the Twin Parks fire. And yeah. While there was a lot of very important things that were being followed, one of the things that caught my ear was you had a particular focus on firefighting staffing. First of all, introduce yourself to our listeners. Where are you from? I understand you're part of the new female majority in the City Council. And then what your particular focus was during that hearing.
So, like you said, my name is Councilwoman Joanne Arriola. I represent the 32nd Council District, and I'm the chair of the Fire and Emergency Management Committee. And the committee hearing that you're speaking about was a joint hearing with the Twin Parks Task Force for Fire Prevention and the Fire and Emergency Management Committee.
And so I've done some reporting right after the fire, and there's been some very good reporting by my colleagues in the city and other papers about the substandard conditions in terms of the doors that did not close, the lack of follow through in terms of the maintenance of the building. You raised an issue I'd heard about from the unions, but it's relatively obscure. Back in the day, I understand that back in the 80s, we used to have 5 firefighters on an engine. Why would that matter that it's been reduced to 4?
Well, in 2011, Bloomberg reduced the number of firefighters at an engine company to 4. And then in 2018, then Mayor Bill de Blasio restored 20 of those 5 firefighters to 20 engine companies throughout the city. And after I had become chair, I had been visiting firehouses and speaking with numerous members of the fire department, and they were all asking for one thing, and that was to bring back the 5th firefighter to their engine companies to keep New Yorkers safe. And I mean, currently engine companies operate with 4 firefighters, which causes the FDNY to require 2 engine companies to respond to each call. And that causes delays in operations at the fires. And it leaves even geographical gaps at the areas that where the second engine company would respond from, and can ultimately, you know, mean the loss of life in those areas that could have been prevented.
Well, I have to tell you, I thought you weren't a former prosecutor, were you?
No, not at all.
Because when you had Acting Chief Hodgins in your crosshairs, you kind of brought out the fact that in the case of the Twin Park fire, the response on paper was pretty good, 3 minutes and 16 seconds. And then I guess the second engine was back there like at the 4-minute mark. And one of the things that's critical to understand is that we measure all this, the mayor's management report, and I've been doing it for years. We look at response times, but that's kind of deceptive because the one that really matters, the response time that matters, is as you say, as you rightly say, when water gets on the fire. Isn't it a better indicator of the response and the capabilities operationally of the fire department?
Well, that's exactly my point. The 5th firefighter takes the position of the door firefighter and getting the line in place and then helping to facilitate the line as the nozzle and backup firefighters face the blaze head on. And getting the first line into place at a fire saves more lives than anything else. And engine companies encounter difficulties with the stretches of the line and other unusual situations when they're working at a location of the fire. So if you only have 4 firefighters on the initial engine responding, critical minutes are wasted, and you're waiting for the second engine to arrive. Now, as you said, within 3 minutes and a few seconds, the first engine arrived at the Twin Parks fire. The second engine arrived 43 seconds later. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of time, but when your home is filled with smoke and or fire and is entering your lungs, that's an issue. And it only takes as little as 2 minutes for a person to pass out and die from smoke inhalation. So those 4 minutes are crucial to save.
Well, it's funny. It's because during the testimony, I think you heard from Vice President UFOA George Farnacci described, it was very compelling. When he said, imagine 43 seconds, what that would mean. So what you've tapped into is it's an occupational exposure for the firefighters because they're in a position where they have the Hobson's dilemma. Jesse Gerhard, such a heroic firefighter who passed as a doorman, as the Iron Man, he has got to break into the door and he's got to look for people. That means that the period of time of the cavalry arriving in terms of form of water to suppress smoke and blaze is extended and based on the second engine arriving.
That is exactly right. And if you have a fifth firefighter on these engines, you would need less engines to respond to a fire, leaving less gaps in areas that could potentially have a fire and no engine company available to them because they're fighting another fire in another geographic area. So,
you made that point. And so it seems to me that, and I remember as a WNYC covering Mayor Bloomberg, there were a lot of these kinds of financial decisions that in the short term seemed to make bean counter sense. When you look holistically at it, you see that it's actually, I hate to be so trite, penny wise and pound foolish. It sounds like it's exactly what we have here.
Correct. To keep the 20 engines with the five firefighters cost the city $11 million. If you add a fifth firefighter, not to all, you know, we're not saying add them back to all the engine companies, but let's add 40 fifth firefighters back to areas where there are multifamily high-rise dwellings, where in addition to a response time to the front door, you have a vertical response time because they're high-rise buildings. And, you know, in areas that are minority and immigrant areas where there could be a language barrier for any type of fire safety education and where there would be a response time that is greater for the second engine to arrive. It just makes sense. Now, if you add that fifth firefighter to the additional 40 engine companies, it would cost the city $25 million. Now, that in the scheme of things, the city's budget is pennies. And it would save lives, which are priceless.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because one of the things about this is that, getting into the weeds a little bit, one of the deals that was cut, I think it was former UFA President Cassidy that cut this deal with de Blasio. Incredibly, they actually linked the 20 companies that will get the appropriate fifth firefighter to the level of sick call within the firefighters. So if you have something like COVID or a particularly difficult fire and you have it elevated to, like, I think above 7%, then for some crazy reason, they suspend the fifth firefighter. It's like they punish the public because we've had a problem with sick hall within the firefighters. Does that make any sense to you at all?
It doesn't. And I know it was part of their collective bargaining agreement, but and you make a very valid point. When we're talking about the variable called COVID, which caused so many illnesses and time out, we really should have kind of pushed past that percentage that was agreed upon and said, look, we have less firefighters on because so many have COVID because they've been out taking care of people who have COVID and they contracted it themselves. We need to now just put the fifth firefighter back on. And that's why I'm working with the mayor. I've had discussions with him. I've had discussions with the deputy mayor for public safety. And I just introduced my first piece of legislation to the New York Council with my colleague, Councilmember Justin Brannon. And it's a resolution calling on the mayor of New York to permanently staff all fire departments of New York, their engine companies, actually, with the fifth firefighter and an officer at the outset of each tour, because that officer is then relaying all of the indications from who's in the fire, right? Because it's a relay system that they use. So you need that officer at the door at the outset of each tour. Otherwise, there's nobody on the ground listening to what's going on inside of the fire.
Oh, I'm just so impressed by your granular knowledge of what's wrong and what we can do to fix it. We don't have to talk about how to fix things. One of the things that I talked to Acting Fire Commissioner Kavanaugh about this is we've had this uptick in crime and violent crime, and there's certainly a need to deal with the issues of lawlessness. But one of the other aspects of lawlessness can be parts of the city where we know that landlords can really flagrantly violate building codes. And I know you had some great testimony from fire inspectors, Daryl Chalmers and and Oren Barzilay, Local 2507, DC 37. We have a situation where if we want to restore community well-being, the fire piece, fire inspection, EMS, all those are part of it. It's not just police officers. And of course, a part of your remit in the emergency management is that we have to have a holistic approach to healing these communities by making sure that they have these forward deployed resources. And isn't there an issue about fire inspectors and EMS as well?
Well, at our very first hearing, Oren Barzilay, who's the president of Local 2507 for Uniform EMTs, paramedics, and fire inspectors, he levied a bombshell in his testimony in saying that during the de Blasio administration, fire inspectors were taken off their duty for inspecting buildings and put on COVID duty, going to restaurants to make sure that restaurants were COVID mandate compliant by wearing masks, as well as handing masks out on corners. And so what happened was there was a backlog in fire inspectors doing their actual duty, which was inspecting buildings like Twin Parks. Mr. Barzilay testified that Twin Parks should have been inspected months before that fire happened, that tragic fire that took 17 lives, including children. And yet fire inspectors were out doing COVID mandate checking in restaurants. Luckily, our current mayor, immediately upon learning this, reinstated those fire inspectors to doing the job they were hired to do, and they're back doing that. But there's such a backlog now that they need to get out. They need to hire more fire inspectors, get back to what their budgeted amount of fire inspectors are, and go. I mean, there are so many fire safety doors within buildings that are not working. Right. Fire safety doors that are chocked open just by, maybe residents or people who are working there, and people's lives are at risk. We also want to up education in all these buildings, in homes. If you remember years ago, television was inundated with public safety announcements, stop, right, drop, and roll, what to do if it's a grease fire, what to do if it's an electrical fire. We've really moved away from that, and this city council and our mayor really want to see that reinstituted and commit dollars to it.
Well, it's funny too, because I understand at the hearing that there's over 100 vacancies within the fire inspection, fire prevention service, and that we have thousands of buildings that there's a huge backlog. That must just drive you crazy, knowing that we have potentially another Twin Parks in the offing, but it requires attention like you're giving it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And firefighters, they also do inspections, but why take them away from God forbid, if there's a fire in their catchment area, that, they have to stop doing inspections and going. Fire inspectors are trained to do that job, and that's what they do. They go out and do inspections, and that's why we need more of them, and that's why we need them to remain in the duty that they have been trained to do. And the other issue that had come up was the EMS. That was another, bombshell for us, because they're kind of the unsung uniformed heroes,
right,
for our city. And we're losing them in dozens, by the dozens, because they don't have pay parity. So what's happening is EMS workers come, they work for the city, and it's almost, if the city, and you said it before, pound wise, dollar foolish, if they look at what they're paying EMS to A, train them and then have them work, they're getting what I believe and I call on the job training. And then once they reach a certain degree, they realize they can't get any more money. So they'll either leave for the fire department or they leave for other states or other counties to go and work. So, we have a really difficult time retaining EMS that are fully trained and, really capable of what they're doing. So there's a constant, overturn in that particular area too.
They're very smart, very motivated young people, wonderful young people. They come in, they get the promotion exam. They're gone before 3 years. We know from medical research that 6 years is the sweet spot. University of Pennsylvania, right, nationwide study. 6 years is where you really get the sweet spot as a street medic. And so we're disinvesting in that experience. So it sounds to me like you want to make this a living that people can take on for their lifetime, make a commitment to healthcare, because rather than leave it because the dollar signs are pushing them out the door.
Right. We want to retain our trained professionals, whether they're firefighters, EMS, you know, NYPD, all our first line responders, nurses, all of our first line responders. We want to be able to retain them. And what we've been seeing is a mass exodus in all those areas.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time, Councilmember Joanne Arriola. How do people get in touch with you and your committee?
So you can get in touch with me by emailing me at jariola@council.nyc.gov. And I just want to say that I appreciate you having me on. These are issues that need to come to the forefront. And I just want you and everyone who's listening to know that I will continue to fight for the safety of all New Yorkers and those who keep us safe.
Well, also, I'm not going to miss any of your hearings. They have a high entertainment value. Believe me, I've been watching these for a long time.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. That's Councilmember Joanne Arriola out of Rockaway, Queens. She's the chair of the Fire and Emergency Management. That's it for us today. Stay strong. Follow up on 212-209-2950 so we can be here next Monday. Make sure to stay tuned to Frenchie Davis in the Space tomorrow. And Democracy Now! Is up next.
Hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses.
This Labor Press podcast is sponsored by Barish and McGarry, lawyers for the 9/11 community, who remind everyone, responders, downtown office workers, residents, and students, that 9/11 didn't end on 9/11. 68 cancers have been linked to the World Trade Center toxins. Everyone is eligible to enroll in the free, nationwide World Trade Center health program, and if certified with a 9/11 illness, eligible for an award from the Victim Compensation Fund.